Good. Our reading for today is Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. Would you please stand your Bible on Matthew 25? Beginning from verse 14 of Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid it, his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord has said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seeds. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you owe to have deposited my money with a banker. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, this is a very frightening prospect about this parable. But before we go to this scenario of this frightening prospect, is that the previous parable, which is the 10 virgins, as you can see, I know you're familiar perhaps with that first verses 13, it links with the present parable of the talents, because in the 10 virgins represent 2 great classes of people which compose the visible church of Christ, the converted and the unconverted ones, the false professors or the real Christians, the pretenders or the hypocrites, and the true believers, the foolish builders and the wise builders. The ten virgins help us to focus on our attention purely on the leadership of Christ in our lives as our Lord and Savior. Even though He's away, now, at present, He's coming back, so that this parable teaches us how to be prepared for His arrival. The key word in this parable of the talent, of the ten virgins is the word watchfulness. And the interpretation of this watching is having to do with the oil continually being supplied so that we will see the light that is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The light of Christ that is in us is able to shine and lighten our path in this dark world so that we can do the business of God that He entrusted to us. So, dearly beloved, the present parable, which we have just read now, the parable of the talent, describes the consequences of two attitudes that every believer or every professor of being a Christian or followers of Christ. The consequences of two attitudes upon His return while we are waiting. And it also illustrates the sadness or the tragedy of a wasted opportunities in having those talents. The man who goes on the journey represents Christ, and we know that. And the slaves represent the professing Christians or believers, given the different levels of responsibility. That's why it was given 5, 2, and 1, according to their ability. It is not a matter of favoritism here, but God knows our abilities because He knows what's in our minds and in our hearts. So having that in mind, faithfulness is what He actually demands among His servants in this regard. So we learn further that all unfruitful... So the practical lesson, first of all, upon this parable that we are now facing, is the main point of difference, that watchfulness is the key to the first parable of the ten virgins, which is linking now with the present parable, that diligence is required, or doing our utmost as being faithful with the talents that God has given to us. So that the story of the virgins calls on the church to be watchful, and the story of the talents calls on the church to work faithfully, to manage faithfully on the different talents that He gave to us. So first of all, we learn in the first place in verse 15 to 17, as you look at your text, from this parable of the talents, that all Christians have received something from God. We are all God's servants. We have all talents entrusted to us. And you can see that one is given 5, one is given 2, and the other is 1, from 15 to 17. And the word talent is used in the sense that our Lord used in this particular parable. It applies to all baptized people without any difference. Truly followers of Christ. We have all talents in God's sight, which He has already delivered, and you can see. And we are all in His sight without an excuse that we are possessing at least one talent. Others are 5, others are 2. Anything whereby we may glorify God with these talents is for the glory of God and for the good of His kingdom. And our gifts and our influence, because of the continuous doing and investing the talents for His kingdom, which our influence to other people, the witness of our lives, reach out to others. Our money also speaks about our witness, how we manage our money, and our knowledge of Him, our health, not only our physical health, but our spiritual health as well. Our strength, not only physically, but spiritual strength. The time He gives us while we are still healthy, and our sense of being fulfilled in God's kingdom. Our reason, our intellect, our memory, our active minds, our affections towards God and towards one another, our privilege as members of Christ's church, which is the redemption that He has given to us, and our fellowship with God, which is with our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and with one another, is also a gift. Our privileges are therefore in that category. Our advantages as possessors of the Word of God, this is also a gift that God will account when we come face to face with Him. What have we done with the Word that He gave to us? Perhaps we will be saying here at this point that those who are unfruitful members of Christ will be condemned and cast away in the day of judgment. Particularly in verse 18, look at that verse in verse 18. He who had received one went and dug on the ground, and it is Lord's mine. That is the one who is actually unfaithful, which is the second lesson that we can gather from this parable. The privileges and mercies that we receive, or that we receive from God, we are told in this parable that He dug on the earth, and it is money, the Lord's money. That man represents a large portion of people, not only in society, but even in the churches. They don't want to use their talent. They just sit there, listening all the time on the Word of God. There is no sense of fruitfulness in their lives. I don't know what's the problem, but we can see the problem here is that he reasoned with God. Lord, I know you are a hard man. You see? And you, being a man who gathered crops that you did not cultivate, therefore, I'm afraid to invest this money. And of course, the Lord said to him, well, why didn't you then, knowing that I gathered the crops which I did not plant and delivered and received crops which I did not cultivate, why did you not then send my money into the bank so that they will earn interest? Take away the gifts from him and give it to the one who possessed them. The five who had gathered five, and he got now ten. And give it to him. And the Lord condemned you, wicked and slothful servant. And that is the judgment that God gave him. It's a sad situation that people nowadays do nothing out of their talents. I don't know whether they are afraid of because of the demands of the Lord, because let's remember that the Lord has done everything for us on the cross of Calvary. We cannot save our own wickedness. We cannot actually forgive our own sins. We cannot get away from the grips and the prison of sin. The Lord Jesus has done for us everything that we cannot do for ourselves. And shall we not be thankful to God and give ourselves to Him? Which He said that you should have actually put those 1 talent into the bank so that they will earn interest. We don't have an excuse, because God expects a servant, just like a farmer who sows seed. Just like the parable of the sower, He expects His seed to bring fruits. And God expects us, even though 1 talent that He gave you, expect fruits. But how do we fare today in the talents that God gave us to each one of us? Well, you're the one answerable for that. Amen. And then we learn from this parable as well, that the judgment that God will bring to the unconverted on the last day. The last servant, as you can see from those verses that we have just read from 15 to 17, the servant had a low regard for his Lord and Master. And he used that as an excuse for laziness. He dug his talent because he said he was afraid because his master is too hard. But that's not true. As you can see, and I've just said a while ago, the Lord has created everything. He sent His blessing both to the good ones and the bad ones. And they receive it all. And unfortunately, even His own people sometimes doesn't say thank you for the privilege and talents and even the eternal life that God has given to us through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So take note, verse 24. Look at it. Then you had received 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I already said that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not gathered seed. And I know that being a prey engulfed my heart and went and hid your talents in the ground. And he surrendered the talent. The lazy servant here, with one bag of silver, came and argued with the argument that we have just heard right now. I am just fearful that if I will endeavor to invest this because of the economic bad times that we have, I am afraid that it will not earn anything. I might just as well put it somewhere around the house or under the carpet so that it will not be lost. But the accounting days came, of course, that the Lord said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I have harvested crops I did not plant and gathered crops I did not cultivate, why did you not deposit the money? That is a wasted opportunity. Slothful or lazy member in the body of Christ is as good as a decaying member of the body. Just like a tooth that remains decaying, it will affect when it aches, it will affect the whole body, isn't it? So those who are slothful will have also a strong effect in the body because the pain will be absorbed by the body. So it is very sad that the church nowadays is affected by those people who are actually not surrendering their talents to the Lord because they want to hide their talents. And so let us be aware that a do-nothing Christianity or just being contented sitting in the church and waiting to be appointed to do something does not come from the Spirit of God. So the question that we can ask at this point is it fair for God to judge the brethren who have not heard the gospel at all? Or perhaps they have heard it when they have come to church sometimes, but they remain unconverted because they don't respond to the gospel. First of all, if you are asking that question now, God's judgment is always just and right.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul says in Romans 2, "We are sure," says the Apostle Paul, "that the judgment of God is according to the truth."
Amen.
And again, in the words of the Apostle John, "In righteousness is that judge," in Revelation 19:11. And according to the psalmist, "He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness."
Amen.
In Psalm 9:8. And finally, as we continually examine and reflect on what Paul says in Romans 2, it helps us to see more clearly the basis of God's judgment on those who are wasting their talents. They remain in the church, but they don't bear fruit. In fact, they seem to be comfortable. They seem to profess Christians, but they don't see any fruit in their lives. So, the apostle first states the principle that he will render to every man according to his deeds in verse 6 of Romans chapter 2. And then proceeds in verse 11 to 16, which he says, it teaches that the important question is not knowledge or so much knowledge or ignorance of something, but the issue of sin that's in a person's life, in a Christian's life. And when sin is in the heart of a Christian, or even an unfruitful Christian, the greatest effect of that is that he doesn't want to be involved in the kingdom of God, because he's ashamed of his wicked deeds, that it might be exposed. And all who sin, whether in ignorance or knowledge of the law, are regarded by God as transgressors, and they will therefore be rewarded according to their deeds. And so let's be aware of this judgment to come. It should actually reassess our lives at this point. How are we spending our lives' resources? Yes, we have something to support ourselves, our family, our loved ones abroad. But that is not the main issue here. The main issue here is, how do you use your talents in the kingdom of God for the time? Right now is the time to commit ourselves, and not tomorrow. Tomorrow he might come, and he will see us unprepared. Don't we see the urgency of this fall, dearly beloved? So let's be internalizing this truth right now. Who are we a servant of? Are we a servant of Christ or a servant of sin? If we are a servant of sin at this moment, which we don't enjoy the serving Christ and forgetting our role, our part, in which the talents has given to us to be done and to be shared in the church, in God's kingdom, then of course we'll be ashamed, like this servant who possessed one and he just kept it until the accounting day reveals who really is. He's a lazy sluggard. And then thirdly, we can learn that true Christians will receive abundant reward in the great day of reckoning. The parable tells us that the servant who used their Lord's money into the Lord's money very well and invest their talents for his kingdom, doing well for it, not just doing something for the sake of doing something so that we will be called busy and concerned, but doing our best, doing well that the Lord has given to us, even though a small one. And they were commended as good and faithful, and told to enter into the joy of their Lord. It's just like saying in verse 20, the one who received 5 talents, he said, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." And the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And he said exactly the same thing to the possessor of 2 talents. So is God favoritism is here? No way. He always gives reward according to the ability of those he scattered or he divided the talents. I pray that at this point we will reassess our commitment to the Lord. We have a reward waiting for us in heaven. And those who are diligent in improving the opportunities they have, God will enlarge them. Did you see that in verse 18? He charged this lazy man, "You slothful and lazy servant, take away his talent and give it to the 10. The one who possessed 5 and made 10. You see, when we are faithful, even though you possess 1, God will enlarge that opportunity if we are faithful. If you have 5, if you have 2 talents right now, you will enlarge it and receive the praise of God and joy. Come into the joy of your Lord. And this is the bottom line of this parable. We must reassess how we are now in using our talents. Even in 1 only, give it to the Lord. And we need to pray for more of these talents for God's glory, to offer to Him today for our more greater usefulness in His kingdom. This is the time, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. This is the time which runs out very quickly. And I am applying this to myself to reassess our commitment to God, whether we are a true faithful servant of Christ or a servant of sin. The only safe time to decide is not next week, is not next month, is not next year. It is now. The choice is yours. And your choice, as you can see, if you choose for the 5 talents and the commendation of the Lord for both the 5 and the 2, will be ours if we remain faithful. May God bless His word.
Amen.
Amen.